Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first heard this text for Christ the King Sunday, I admit that I was a little shocked and somewhat dismayed. It is Christ the King Sunday when we celebrate Jesus as the ruler of the universe. We celebrate Jesus' power and authority over all creation. We celebrate his kingship. And it's the last day of the church year, and it seems like we should celebrate with gusto all the great songs we've already sung and go out with a bang, like it is our New Year's Eve celebration, ending on a very high note. Jesus, our King. But we get something altogether different from our gospel reading from Luke. We get the very same reading that we hear on Good Friday. And we hear and can see in our mind's eye Jesus being crucified between two thieves. Instead, we see a bloody, beaten Jesus who is mocked for not saving himself. We see a Jesus who is shamed by the leaders of the day, and even one of the thieves, for goodness sake, being crucified next to him. They mock him for the claim that he is King of the Jews. Yeah, right. Why this text for Christ the King Sunday? How can we celebrate Jesus as King with this Good Friday text? I mean, Good Friday is probably the most somber, the most agonizing, the most serious worship service you could ever attend during the church year. How can we celebrate indeed? And if we look more closely at these two thieves crucified on either side of Jesus, we note something most interesting about our text. The first thief does keep deriding Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Come on, man." Mocking Jesus as the supposed king. But then the second thief does something entirely different. He condemns that first thief. He declares that Jesus is innocent. And then a surprising and almost inexplicable request, because we assume that this thief has really no understanding of who Jesus is, never met him before. Why would he suddenly make this request of Jesus? He seems to understand who Jesus really is for some reason. He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Somehow this guy gets it and knows that Jesus does ultimately have power and control over all of creation. These two thieves represent what I would say are two very separate realities here. They're two separate but simultaneously existing realities going on at the same time, side by side. It's kind of like if any of you have seen the fourth Star Trek movie, you may understand a bit better what I'm talking about. You see, in Star Trek IV, the storyline departs from the storyline of the first three movies. And discrepancies occur in the fourth Star Trek movie that don't make sense if you take the first three movies at face value. So, to explain this very disturbing discontinuity, the fourth movie claims its characters are operating in an alternative reality from those that are laid out in the first three movies. It claims that things occurring in the fourth movie are happening the same time as those things in the first three movies are happening, but they're separate realities. So therefore, the storyline from the first three movies isn't invalidated. It's simply occurring in a different reality than the fourth movie. Kind of bizarre. Although avid Star Trek fans were not at all satisfied with this explanation of how all these things were happening, and they weren't really satisfied with the fourth Star Trek movie at all, I'm claiming that this alternative reality idea is happening right here in our gospel text this morning. You see, see the first thief, the one mocking Jesus, is steeped in a reality of our world. He's caught up in the reality of a struggle that we experience every day, really. The struggle for power, the struggle for control, the drive to survive, the need to manipulate and control our world. It's a world full of danger and violence. See, this reality, I would call the Good Friday reality of our world. And alongside this reality is this second reality. It's going on at the very same time. But it's certainly not as easy to experience as this Good Friday reality of the first thief. But it's there. We see evidence of it first in our text when Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He's forgiving the very people who are killing him. Only a person steeped in a different reality than that Good Friday reality that we're faced with in this text could say that. We get evidence of this second reality coexisting alongside the dark reality of Good Friday when the second thief says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This thief has seen something in Jesus. He's seen Jesus' true identity. And somehow that thief has been given a gift of glimpsing the reality of the kingdom of God and see Jesus for who he really is, the King of the universe. Which reality do you live in? Good Friday or the kingdom of God? The reality of our everyday life, I dare say, is often more like the Good Friday reality with its pain, struggle, violence, heartache, separation, and loneliness. Truthfully, it is much easier to live in the reality that first thief lives in, our Good Friday reality, because it is what we see when we mourn and have a hard time understanding the death of a loved one. That Good Friday reality is what we see when we struggle or our loved ones struggle with cancer or heart disease or dementia. That Good Friday reality is what we see when we work with people who are living in poverty. That Good Friday reality is what we see when we go on mission trips and see firsthand the desperate conditions people in other countries are living in. That Good Friday reality is what we see when we look at our lives and we realize we're not happy or content or fulfilled, even though we have so much. We know something is still missing. So how do we move from our Good Friday reality to see that second reality, the kingdom of God reality, that it does exist right before us, alongside, simultaneously with the Good Fridays? My father-in-law, Pastor Bob Young, tells the story of a woman from his very first congregation. She lost her young son in a very tragic bicycle accident when a car hit him. When Pastor Bob went to visit her and her family immediately after his son's death, following the funeral, he noticed that she had left the meal they were having and had gone off by herself to be alone. As he approached her, he asked her what she was thinking about and how she was doing. Her response was that she was thinking about how much God loved her. He was understandably surprised. And he asked her why that was what she was thinking about. And what she said is that she realized that God loved her because he had experienced the same pain she was now experiencing when God gave up his only son for her sake. This took Bob back quite a bit. He was very shocked. Somehow, surprisingly, inexplicably, this woman was still in touch with God's love for her. could still glimpse God's kingdom, even while experiencing the pain and suffering of the Good Friday reality she was steeped in and was surrounding her at that moment. Like the first thief, and like this woman, like the second thief, and like this woman, surprisingly, inexplicably, too, I would say we have been given a gift. The gift of the invitation to see the kingdom of God right before us, no matter our circumstance. This invitation was given to you very early, most likely in your baptism. You did nothing to earn it. You did nothing to deserve it. God simply gave it to you as a gift of pure love. And today, we receive 10 new members into our congregation with joy and thanksgiving. And as we do, we remember and affirm the gift of their baptism and our own. And when we do, we glimpse the kingdom of God. Today at our second service, when we baptize 3 new members, again, we glimpse that second reality. We glimpse the kingdom of God. Our baptism forever grants each one of us access to this second reality, because we can always be assured that the kingdom of God is near when we cling to those promises made to us by God in our baptism, even in the darkest of times. So as we do celebrate this Christ the King Sunday with joy, praise, and thanksgiving, it's okay, for today is a day when we know that the reality that that second thief sees, the reality of the kingdom of God, is the one that wins, the one that will not be extinguished, the one that reigns eternal. For the reality of that first thief, the reality of Good Friday, does not prevail. No, the reality of Easter morning, Christ risen as King over heaven and earth, is what we celebrate today and can dare to celebrate every day in confidence, especially when we cling to the promises of our baptism. Amen.